Thank you for having me on a very important anniversary, by the way. Today is the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's first full day in Washington as president-elect.
That's that's something I did not know, and I appreciate you pointing that out. Why do you think people take the president so seriously so long after his presidency?
Well, I think one of the reasons is that presidents ever since Lincoln, whether they were Republicans or Democrats, have held him in the highest esteem and made him a role model. And you're right, absolutely. I learned this week both by talking about several things about Lincoln in the Washington Post that, boy, you get a lot of response and a lot of anger if you say something that angers either the pro-Lincoln or the anti-Lincoln forces out there, and there are plenty.
That's right. We were talking during the break that more books are written about Abraham Lincoln than any other subject, not just any other person or any other time period or whatever, any other subject in the entire world, almost 1,000 books a year written about Abraham Lincoln every year. What do you think that he would say to President Obama about engaging the people that work for him in the executive branch?
First of all, you have to caution a little bit by saying that in those days, former presidents didn't really offer advice. And Lincoln probably, had he lived, would have gone into happy retirement somewhere and written his memoirs. He had to deal with five ex-presidents who were a little bit hostile to him occasionally because they were Northerners who were pro-Southern or Southerners who joined the Confederacy. So he had a rough time with exes. But given that, I would think that Lincoln's example to President Obama, or his advice if he had to give it, was get out there among them. Lincoln visited the War Department. He visited the Navy Yard in Washington. He visited Army camps, which were then, of course, the preponderant number of people technically working for the government were in the armed services. But he went to the various departments. I know it's hard today, but Lincoln was out there encouraging, congratulating, and expressing his appreciation for service.
So, Harold, in that same vein, is that the type of action that he'd take directly with federal employees if he were in office today to keep their spirits up, given talks of furloughs, given talks of pay freezes? What would his actions look like?
I mean, I think the difference is, and we have to concede that it's impossible for the president to walk over to the Treasury Department. You know, it's just across the yard from the White House. But Lincoln walked over to the Treasury Department all the time. He walked over there to pose for his portrait. He walked over there to recite Shakespeare. He walked over there to talk to people about monetary policy. He walked over to the War Department to use the telegraph. He walked over, you know, he made himself a father figure and a personal leader. And don't forget, this was the first era in which women were suddenly in the federal workforce. So many men were in the military service that women were working in the Treasury Department. They were working as clerks for the first time. It was a totally different kind of profile of the federal worker. And Lincoln was not only the first person making these appointments, but he was, again, he was in their faces, and I think they appreciated that.
If you could sit down with him and ask him three questions yourself, what would they be?
I guess the first one would be, because there's been so much dispute about where he really was on race relations, how much he envisioned about a biracial society and the potential for equality. I mean, first we'd have to put a wet cloth on his head to tell him that an African American was president, because I don't think that he would have conceived of. No way that any 19th century man would have conceived of that. But, you know, President Lincoln, you hinted about giving African Americans the vote. Were you serious? How long do you think it would have taken? Would you have given 40 acres and a mule to former slaves? What kind of remedy would you have offered, or wouldn't you have offered? How about education? I mean, I think that's the first question I'd ask. Then I'd ask him about his father, because so much has been written about whether his father was negative toward him, whether he hit him, whether he discouraged him from learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of would like to get into his head a little bit about that relationship. And then I think I'd like to ask him, well, what he read, really, because there's a lot of dispute about, I mean, he said once he never read a novel in his entire life. So maybe I'd like to challenge him on that and say, I mean, surely you read Uncle Tom's Cabin. Everybody in the country did. who was anti-slavery. So what really influenced you? What thinkers? What essayists? What novelists? We know you love Shakespeare. We know you love the Bible. We know you memorized it, but what else was out there? Did you ever read Walt Whitman? Because your style was so much like Whitman's. But, you know, to read Whitman in those days would be like reading a dirty book. So did you risk it? Did you do it? So that kind of thing.
Harold Holzer, Lincoln expert and vice president for external affairs at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Thanks for being on the program today. It's great to have you. We've got the piece linked up from the Washington Post at federalnewsradio.com and this conversation as well. And